Radio Prague News.
The leaders of the three parties in the process of forming a government coalition are set to discuss the state budget on Thursday. Trade union members are protesting planned changes in the labor law that the future coalition announced on Wednesday, and former President Václav Havel begins shooting a film version of the stage play Leaving on Thursday. Senior members of the three parties in the process of forming a government coalition are set to meet on Thursday to discuss the state budget. Prime Minister Petr Nečas announced on Wednesday that the coalition was aiming to operate on a state budget deficit of 135 billion Czech crowns. Public finances are one of the three remaining open chapters in the ongoing coalition negotiations, along with education and health. Mr. Nečas has said that the new government should be formed by mid-July, once the coalition agreement has been finalized. Trade unionists are protesting the future government coalition's planned changes to the labor law. After coalition negotiations on Wednesday, the Civic Democrats, Top 09 and Public Affairs announced they are planning to loosen restrictions regarding short-term work contracts, along with making changes to the labor law that would help create more part-time positions. Under the new legislation, severance packages are also to be cut. According to unionists, the government is taking advantage of the global financial crisis to push through changes in law that will favor employers. Former Czech President Václav Havel will begin filming an adaptation of his play Leaving on Thursday. Shooting will take place over 2 months in the East Bohemian town of Česká Skalice, around 160 kilometers northeast of Prague. Mr. Havel is making his debut as a film director at the age of 73. Leaving was Havel's first play after a 20-year gap and made its stage debut in 2008. It recounts the story of a chancellor who quits power and enters the political wilderness accompanied by a large dose of cynicism. Havel's wife Dagmar will have the female lead role in the new film. And now for a brief look at the weather. Over the next few days, it should remain hot with daytime temperatures of up to 33 degrees Celsius. It will be mainly sunny with a chance of storms. My name is Sarah Barivka, and this is the end of the news.
Hello and welcome to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Christian Falvey. Many thanks for tuning in. Coming up on today's show, the incoming coalition sets its goals for the 2011 budget. Ex-President Havel begins work as a film director. His topic, his own newest play, Leaving. A sensational coup at Wimbledon as Czech player Tomáš Berdych defeats six-time champion Roger Federer. And lastly, on today's panorama, we take a look at baby boxes, 5 years after their inception. I hope you'll stay with us today for all that here on Radio Prague. Fast on the heels of an agreement on the share-out of cabinet posts, the incoming Czech government has hammered out the main lines of its proposed budget for next year. The aim is for the state to pay its own way on less borrowed money, with the help of deeper cuts in public spending. Chris Johnstone reports.
Prime Minister Petr Nečas there clearing up some confusion over what the final figures for the public deficit for 2011 should be. Those targets were hammered out within hours of a deal between the coalition partners, the right-wing Civic Democrats, Conservative Top 09 and centrist Public Affairs on the share-out of ministerial portfolios. And for a centre-right partnership pledged to bring in what they describe as fiscal responsibility, there were no big surprises in the headline figures. The partners have set a 135 billion crown, around $7 billion US dollar ceiling for the public deficit next year. That represents around 4.6% of gross domestic product. That goal is more ambitious than the target originally outlined by the outgoing caretaker government of a 140 billion crown deficit coming in at 4.8% of GDP. The new target calls for the government to find an extra 74 billion crowns, either from savings or higher revenue, to prune its borrowing. From the pre- and post-election rhetoric of the coalition partners, it's no revelation that spending cuts are the main ingredient here, representing around two-thirds of the total. And the public sector is set to bear the brunt of those cuts. Around 10% is expected to be trimmed from the public sector wage bill, with the exception of teachers. And all ministries are expected to deliver 10% savings in their running costs. Disability payments will also be paired, and mothers are set to get one-off payments only when their first child is born, and not for any further fertility output. Added to that, investments in infrastructure projects will also be curtailed. One post-election saving that was mulled, freezing pension payments so that they would not automatically be annually increased, has been dropped. On the revenue side, some of the savings could best be defined as spectral. In this ghostly category of election promises and half-promises that have hit the buffers are the aim to cut employers' health and social contributions and ambition to lower the ceilings for health insurance payments by top earners. Also, the initially floated idea of raising the lower rate of value-added tax or sales tax, which would have increased the price of many basic items and services and hit the poor hardest, has been dropped, at least for the moment. One of the few real savings that can be identified in this area are in the state incentives for building savings accounts. Here the state is taking with both hands, cutting upfront payments to those who open such accounts and the tax breaks for interest payments from them.
Thanks to Chris Johnstone for that report. The former president, Václav Havel, has begun directing a screen adaptation of his latest play, Leaving. The play, which premiered in 2008, deals with a politician's painful adjustment to a new life after retiring from politics. The 73-year-old playwright led his country for 13 years, but since his own political retirement, he has returned to stage work and is now making his debut in film. Rob Cameron has the story.
That's a scene from the original stage version of Leaving, which premiered at Prague's Arca Theatre in 2008. It's a witty and poignant study on the theme of loss of power, with nods to King Lear and Chekhov's The Cherry Garden. It features the former chancellor of an unnamed country named Wilhelm Rieger, unceremoniously booted out of his sumptuous government villa and fighting constant battles with his nemesis, his former deputy, Vlastik Klein. Many were quick to see strong autobiographical elements, with Vlastik Klein seeming to be a thinly disguised caricature of Mr. Havel's real-life nemesis and successor as president, Václav Klaus. But Václav Havel says two-thirds of the play was actually written before 1989, when his career as a playwright was suddenly interrupted. He says he merely augmented it with his own experiences. As he told journalists at the premiere, the theme of loss of power was one that interested him long before he himself experienced it at first hand.
What I was interested in was why, when someone loses power, that person can also lose the meaning of life. Why does power have such strange charisma for some people that its loss means the collapse of that person's world?
Following the play's success in both Prague and abroad, Václav Havel will now spend most of the summer in the northeastern town of Česká Skalice, near the Polish border, directing a feature film adaptation with a star cast that includes his actress wife, Dagmar. Mr. Havel famously insisted on moving the play from the National Theatre after they declined to cast Dagmar Havlova in the role of Wilhelm Rieger's wife. She was later unable to perform in the stage role for other reasons. For Václav Havel, it's the fulfillment of a lifelong dream. He says he always wanted to be a film director. That will come as little surprise, as Czech film is closely associated with the Havel name. His beloved uncle Miloš founded Prague's hugely successful Barrandov Studios, whilst in 1908 his grandfather Václav built the capital's magnificent Art Deco Lucerna complex, which housed the first permanent cinema in Czechoslovakia.
That was Rob Cameron. If you're just tuning in, we thank you for joining us. You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Christian Falvey. Now, Czech tennis player Tomáš Berdych caused a sensation on Wednesday at Wimbledon when he knocked out top seed and defending champion Roger Federer. It is the first time the Czech had beaten the world number one in a Grand Slam and represented his own first win on Wimbledon's centre court. Jan Wellinger has more.
24-year-old tennis player Tomáš Berdych was already having a great year, having reached the semifinals at the French Open. But that, it appears, was just a beginning. On Wednesday, he stunned the tennis world by downing top seed Roger Federer on centre court at Wimbledon. A championship Federer has won 6 times in 7 years. In 4 sets, the Czech player served and played in excellent form and was quick on the counter-attack. And it all paid off, securing him the biggest win of his career and a spot in the men's semis. After the match, here's what Berdych had to say.
This is one of the toughest matches I've ever played, but I'm glad it worked out, and I'm happy it didn't end with, oh, he was close, but it wasn't enough, or something like that. I'm happy that things in the last game ended the way they did.
Asked about Federer's apparent leg and back pain, which the Swiss player complained of after the match, Tomáš Berdych said he wasn't aware his opponent was in any kind of trouble. He stressed that during the match he focused mainly on the game, not what was happening to his opponent.
I wasn't even looking closely at what he was doing. I don't concern myself with what other players do, whether they psych themselves up or are frustrated or whatever. I don't know why I should contemplate whether they're having a problem or not. It's enough for me to focus on what I have to do. Luckily, I managed that fairly well and was able to succeed.
Berdych's sensational win came just a day after female Czech player Petra Kvitová did the same in the women's competition, and she plays for a spot in the women's final later on Thursday. Berdych, by comparison, will have a day to rest before he faces Serbian player Novak Djokovic. Incidentally, the last time a Czech player took part in the Wimbledon final was the legendary Ivan Lendl in 1987. Lendl, of course, never won the grass court championship, the only Grand Slam title that eluded him. In that 1987 match, he was beaten by Boris Becker. Will Berdych be able to go one further than the semis? His coach is confident that he might, but the 12th seed is expected to face a decent battle from 3rd seed Djokovic. Whoever wins their matchup to go to the final will then face either Great Britain's Andy Murray or Rafael Nadal of Spain.
Many thanks to Jan Wellinger. And now for today's feature program on Radio Prague. 5 years ago, the first baby box, a place where mothers can give up their unwanted babies anonymously for adoption, was opened in the Czech Republic. The event was preceded by a heated debate, and it took some time before the advocates of baby boxes convinced the health ministry to give the project the green light. Here's Ruth Frankova with this week's panorama.
The very first baby box was opened in June 2005 in Prague's district of Hloubětín. So far, it has helped to save 14 babies. To this date, there are 36 baby boxes all over the Czech Republic, and altogether 32 children have been left in them so far. The country's 37th baby box is just being installed at the town hall of Prague's Davice district. It will only start operating after a 30-day trial run. The installation of the baby box, which most of all resembles a large microwave oven, was supervised by its manufacturer Michal Čumpelík, who told me how the system worked.
Z každé strany baby boxu jsou jedny dveře, jedny jsou umístěny z venkovní strany, jedny jsou umístěny z vnitřní strany.
The baby box has 2 doors. The outer ones are for mothers or fathers who want to give up their child. The inside ones are for doctors or, in this case, town hall employees. The box is permanently heated and air-conditioned, and there is a stable temperature of around 30 degrees Celsius. If a child is put in a baby box and the doors are shut, the alarm instantly alerts someone who calls an ambulance, or if it is a hospital, a paediatrician.
dětského oddělení. Jo. Tady se zvolá sanitka a pro miminko přijede sanitka.
The baby box is of course not the only option a mother has when she decides to give up her child. She can either give birth anonymously or place her child in a children's home. Ludwig Hess from the Statim Foundation for Abandoned Children and the founder of the baby box project in the Czech Republic says a baby box has certain advantages over the other options.
No, je spousta žen, který mají zábrany jednat s kým.
There are many women who don't want to deal with social workers, and I don't blame them, because the communication isn't always pleasant and easy. So there is definitely a large group of mothers who are ashamed and don't want to get in contact with anyone. It can also be mothers who are here illegally, for example, for work, and they cannot ask for an anonymous birth. Moreover, anonymous births are not intended for every woman.
On the other hand, it is precisely the anonymity of baby boxes that has been criticized from the very beginning. The idea behind a baby box is that a child without an identity can be placed in a new family almost immediately, but that also means that his or her right to knowing who its parents are would never be fulfilled. Opponents of baby boxes, such as pediatrician František Schneiberg, argue that it breaches the Convention on the Rights of the Child.
Těch možností, jak mnohem, řekl bych, důstojněji odložit své dítě v uvozovkách odložit.
There are other options of how to give a child away in a more dignified way, such as anonymous birth. This option is always better for the child because we know its medical history. In my opinion, baby boxes support parents in acting irresponsibly and make it easier for them to get rid of their child. Also, the mother doesn't have a chance to reverse her decision. We know from experience that when she gives birth secretly in a hospital, she often changes her mind.
Advocates of baby boxes say that mothers who intend to abandon their children because of a personal crisis will do so anyway, and a baby box can save babies from dying out in the cold or being killed at birth. Pediatrician František Schneiberg disagrees, referring to statistical data.
Matka, která dítě narozeně zabije a hodí do kontejneru nebo něco podobného.
A mother who kills a child does so in a moment of madness, in distress. But a mother who wants to put her child in a baby box has to act rationally. She gives birth, wraps up the child and gets to the baby box. We already know that in Germany baby boxes had no effect in this respect. Here it is usually 2 to 4 children a year who are found dead, and the number remains more or less the same.
So what exactly happens when a child is found in a baby box? After a thorough medical checkup, doctors get into contact with social workers who immediately start looking for an adoptive family. The final decision is made by court. Ludwig Hess again.
Opatrovnický soud potom rozhodne, co s tím dítětem bude dál.
The court can place the child in a children's home, but most of the infants are put up for adoption within just a few days. After a trial period, which usually lasts 3 months, the court makes a final decision, which is irreversible. So the biological mother has at least 3 months to change her mind. We had a baby girl in Uzky nad Orlicí who must have been placed in the box immediately after she was born with the placenta still attached to her body. 4 days later, she had a new family.
A v náhradní rodině byla čtvrtý den po odložení.
In reality, the process is not always as smooth and anonymous as in this case. The very first child was left in a baby box with a birth certificate. Little Sonia was born to a single mother who decided she couldn't handle the financial burden of having twins. Her case evoked so much public sympathy that within weeks she was back home. In a few cases, it was the mothers who changed their mind and claimed their children back. But probably the most unusual case happened just recently, when a 2-month-old baby boy ended up in a baby box after his father decided he was incapable of taking care of him. The mother has claimed her child back, but it may take some time before her request is granted. In such cases, social workers have to investigate in what kind of environment the child lives and whether it may not be at risk of child abuse. Despite the controversy which still surrounds baby boxes in the Czech Republic, and despite the fact that they are sometimes misused by irresponsible parents, their founder Ludwig Hess doesn't question their overall benefit.
Nejsem jistě přesvědčený o tom, že těch 32 dětí.
Of course, I don't believe that all of the 32 children that have been left in baby boxes since they were set up would have ended badly, that they would have been dumped in the cold, for example. But even if we save just one life, our effort has been worthwhile.
Kdybychom zachránili skutečně před smrtí jenom jedno dítě, tak to stálo za to.
That was founder of the Baby Box Project, Ludwig Hess, ending this week's Panorama and our English broadcast for today. Don't forget, this program and every other is available at our internet address, radio.cz. If you have any questions or comments, we're always glad to hear them. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz, on Facebook under Radio Prague, or of course by post to Vinohradská 12-12099, Prague. From me, Christian Falvey, and all of us here at Radio Prague, we thank you for listening and we wish you the best.